To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your heart comes from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 17 to 22, as follows. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, death can be a very frightening thing. From little on, death can be scary. We use a skull and a crossbones to warn children of poisonous substances, or a skull and a crossbones is the flag that a pirate ship flies to warn other ships that they are not law-abiding, seafaring sailors. They have no morals and are willing to murder to take what they want. Death, in all its forms, can be very frightening. There are three forms of death, and really, the word death, at the root word of that word death, is the word separation. And if you think about it, it is so true. When one of our loved ones dies, we are separated from them. We don't get to see them this side of eternity anymore. There's a separation that causes grief in us. What's the other death besides temporal death? Spiritual death. Spiritual death is the state of unbelief, being separated from God. Now, no one here has experienced that, or at least that I know of. Which of you can think back to a time when you never believed in Jesus? Probably most of us believe from the time we were infants and baptized. Maybe someone can. Separation, death, spiritual death, temporal death, spiritual death, and the worst of all is eternal death, when the unbeliever on Judgment Day is cast into the eternal flames of hell, there forever separated by God, or from God, for all eternity. That's what Good Friday is all about. Where the Lord of life, Jesus Christ our Savior, conquers death for us in all of its forms, temporal, spiritual, and eternal. Our theme tonight, the King of Kings, life through death. We'll hear how the King of Kings served us in death and how he now grants us life. In our Lenten series, we've been looking at different kings from the Bible. King David, King Saul, King Solomon, King Ahab, King Zedekiah, King Herod from the New Testament. We've looked at these earthly kings. We've seen their shortcomings. We've seen some of their good things about them. But where are they all now? Well, they're all dead. Temporarily separated from us until Judgment Day. Temporarily separated. And it is the King of Kings, Jesus Christ our Savior, who is alive and well, even though on that first Good Friday he gave up his life for you and for me, for all those kings, and for everyone else on earth. And now the King of Kings rules in our hearts. His Jesus' ongoing ruling activity is evident in your life because your faith trusts and believes his promises, looks to him for all of life's questions, for all of life's very day-by-day activities, because Christ rules your life as your King. On that first Good Friday, we hear in our text that he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. It's also called Calvary. The place of a skull, a scary place, there to suffer and die a very terrible, frightening death. Bearing his cross, he went out there. What kind of cross was that? Well, we know it was two beams of rough-hewn wood thrown together that Jesus would be crucified upon. That was the cross that he carried physically. But what cross did he carry in reality? Much heavier, much rougher than any wooden cross. The cross he carried was the weight of the sins of the world, ours included. That's the cross that Jesus bore. And as he hung there on Good Friday from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, he endured the very fires of hell itself. Wave after wave of the acid flames of hell's punishment for your sins and mine, for all the sins of the world. He endured that. The cup of God's wrath, which he drained to its very dregs, to the bottom. He suffered the worst kind of death. Death on the cross. Death on the cross and God's wrath poured out on him. He fulfilled everything that the Old Testament spoke about him. It said, and he was numbered with the transgressors in Isaiah 53. And our text tells us that they crucified him there and two others with him, one on one side, or one on either side, and Jesus in the center. He was numbered with the transgressors. The Apostle Paul tells us, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Should Good Friday scare us? Well, only insofar as we see and hear and read about how God poured out his wrath over and against sin, about how God feels about sins, because he didn't withhold anything when he poured out his fury and his condemnation, his just judgment, on his own Son, whom he made sin. Even though he knew no sin, he took ours on his cross, or on his shoulders for us. You could say that on Good Friday, God made Jesus the worst criminal of all time and punished him as such. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, it says in Isaiah 53. The King of Kings died. It was necessary for Jesus to be able to die. That's why he came down here and took on, as true God, took on the true nature of you and me, mankind. He became a man so that he could be killed, so that the sacrifice could be made in your behalf and mine and the world's. So humbling, isn't it, to think there my Savior suffered and died for me? Really? For me? Do you sometimes feel that unworthy attitude in your heart about being able to stand in the presence of God and say that Good Friday was actually for me? For you? You're not the only one. There's a prophet in the Old Testament named Micah, and he wrote about, what should I do when I come before the Holy God? And I'll read it here in a minute. But he also answers it. God answers him, and the Holy Spirit inspired him to write the answer, that he has shown him what is good, just like he shows us what is good this evening. What is good? Good Friday. You're good in God's sight now because of what Jesus accomplished for you on Good Friday. From Micah chapter 6, he felt unworthy, just like we do, With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What can I bring? What can I do to stand before the holy God? The Lord answers, He has shown you, O man, what is good. He's shown us too. Good Friday, the death of his son, has made us good in God's sight. Being clothed with the righteous cloak, the righteous white robe that Jesus now accounts to your account in God's sight, you're good because of what he accomplished on that first Good Friday. Good Friday is what you can hold up to the Almighty when your conscience troubles you. Just hold up the cross of your Savior Jesus, who paid for your sins. The death of God's Son continues to be with us. We celebrate it once a month, don't we? Sometimes more often. Every time you go to the Lord's table, you are celebrating the death of Christ for you and on your behalf. You're receiving the forgiveness of sins that the real body and blood of Christ obtained for you. And you publicly show forth. This is a public service. Anybody can come in here. And when you come up to the Lord's table, when you make confession of what you believe in our creeds that we state, that we confess, you're publicly telling the world that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he suffered and died for your sins, and that now the Holy Spirit has called you and kept you in the faith, and that God now has justified you and declared you not guilty. Good Friday is certainly a day when we take a good look at death, the death of our Savior Jesus, and it grieves us to know that we were the part of the reason he died. But we're also very filled with joy because of the fact that our Savior, through his death, gave us life. And he did it out of love for his Father's will and for us. Jesus is the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says later in John 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus has come 2,000 years ago. We hear about it and read it in his word. We're here singing those hymns of praises to God today, hearing his word from the scripture readings, hearing the sermons preached every Sunday, receiving the life that Jesus wants us to have more abundantly. It's ours right now. Eternal life is ours. And the abundant life that comes with a faith as a child of God, helps us to get through the daily grind that the world throws at us. We have life more abundantly now, right now. Paul wrote to the Colossians, And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, Jesus, has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Jesus, in his death, presents you to God holy, blameless, above reproach. Who is he who condemns? It is God who justifies, Romans 8 tells us. No one can blame you, not even your own heart can say, I just don't feel like I'm forgiven. The gospel cuts through that. The gospel message of sins forgiven convinces you and erases those doubts and sends them packing whenever they come. And it tells you that right now, God has made you his own dear son. Galatians 3 tells us, you are all therefore sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Good Friday. It is a day of death, but it's not a day of death, the kind of death that is frightening for us. Don't be scared by death, especially eternal death. The flames of hell, my dear friends, they hold nothing for you. Because of what Christ has done, he's paid the price of your sins. He's released death's claim over you. Jesus, our great Jehovah, as the hymn tells us, is the death of death and hell's destruction. He destroyed death. Finally, on the last day when he comes for us, he says, and the last enemy to be swallowed up will be death. What a day that will be. But even now, we have life. No wonder we call it Good Friday. When Joseph of Arimathea set the large stone in front of the tomb of our crucified Savior, we know that our sins were buried with him forever, never to rise again. But 3 days later, Jesus rose again. He rose triumphant from the grave as he promised on that first Easter morning. Our living King of Kings, he is alive. Amen.